This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
عليه عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على أزواجه ولهن سواق يسوقهن يدعى أنجشة. So this hadith is in a collection of both Bukhari and Muslim. It's actually in a number of other collections, and it's narrated in different wordings. I'm going to use the one in Bukhari, but you can find other narrations as well, other wordings as well. And it's narrated to us by Anas ibn Malik. And this was within the theme of mindfulness of the tongue. Probably we'll do that until the end of this week, and we'll move on to something different. Alam, we'll see. And this is an interesting hadith, and it's important to understand what it means. So Anas tells us that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on a journey, he was on a trip, and he had taken with him one or maybe two of his wives, and there were other ladies on this trip as well. They used to go, women used to go on these trips, whether they were for jihad or for other purposes, they would go. And there was a sawaq. A sawaq is a word that's used in the hadith, but actually, anyone who's responsible for allowing a caravan of camels to move is called hadi al-is or a hadi. They don't use the word ra'i for ibil, they use that for cows or sheep. But for ibil, for camels, they use the word hadi. And the reason being is that, interestingly enough, camels are very sound sensitive. Camels can move at different paces, and they respond to music or to sound or to song. So if you wanted camels, if you had 7 or 8 camels, you want them to all move in the same at the same pace, and the people who are on it are, there used to be the hodaj was a small compartment that existed, you could put on the camel, and the lady with her children could sleep actually in there. So she wasn't responsible of actually steering this camel. So how is the camel going to continue to move in the direction that everyone else is moving? There would be a hadi. There would be someone who's responsible for these 8 or 9 camels to keep them moving at the same pace, so they're not bumping into each other, knocking people off, or getting too ahead of the group or too behind the group. That's their job. So the man who was responsible for doing this, his name was Anjasha, and he was a gentleman who was from, he was not Arab, he was from a different part of the world, probably from Habasha. And he was the hadi. He was the person who would sing, and he would say poetry and sing it, obviously. Poetry was not said the way I say it. They would actually sing it out. Like it had a tune, has a rhythm, and they would sing it. And you need to have a nice voice. And then he would sing that poetry, and then based on the rhythm of the poetry, the beat, huh? You guys know what I'm talking about? The beat that comes with any form of rap or song, that beat is what the camels will walk to. And depending on how quick the beat is, the camels will either go really quickly or really slowly, and depending on how your voice is. Or it's very interesting. Actually, you can go to Saudi Arabia and see them do this. Like it's still, it's not like they stopped doing it anytime. They still do it, so you can still do it. And you go watch them and see how camels will move to a beat. So this gentleman was getting a little bit engaged in his own hida. He was actually singing, and he was singing a little bit loudly and a little bit quickly, and the camels were speeding up. And the ladies, the hawdish, were now being bumped around. And it was getting a little... So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام قال, يَا أَنْجَشَ رُوَيْدَكَ سَوْقَكَ بِالْقَوَارِيرِ. رُوَيْدَكَ meaning slow down. سَوْقَكَ as you steer. القوارير are the delicate ones. It's from a قارورة, which is something made of glass. So he's saying, slow down as you steer the delicate ones. He's speaking about the ladies who are in the camels. So... Now, of course, I'm telling you this hadith is because they used to do this. Meaning the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as the other Sahaba, would hear this hadi continuously say poetry. And the poetry was not always the poetry of Hassan or Ka'b or Abdullah. Sometimes it was the poetry of Al-Nabigha or Al-Asha or Imru al-Qais or some of the Jahili poets whose poetry is very well known and people enjoyed listening to. So they would sing it out, and they were not told not to. And this is important, that this was actually a part of their travel. When they traveled, there was song involved. And that song was a part of making sure that the pace would continue to go. And he said that about the ladies, slow down, you're steering the delicate ones. قال أبو قلابة, one of the narrators of this hadith, one of the tabi'in, قال تكلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بكلمة لو تكلم بها بعضكم لعبتموها عليه. He said something عليه الصلاة والسلام that day, that if one of you today were to say, everyone would get all upset. He means like when he said بالقوارير, take it easy with the delicate ones. He used that term of describing these ladies. And if one person said that today, everyone would get all upset and get all up in arms that he said something like that. Meaning he was upset that people had changed the way their usage of words. and their ability to kind of point things out. And the Prophet ﷺ was very sensitive, and he'd use language such as that when he spoke. I find it interesting that only 100 years later, people still felt that there was a little bit of a change in the culture, and that we were bringing about something much more, I guess, you're making, we call it today PC, like politically correct. And when you start censoring language, and you start censoring words, and you start making it difficult for people to speak the language that makes sense inside their minds, when you can't speak anymore, you can't say things, because if you say it, then immediately you're going to lose your status or your posting or your job or your reputation or whatever it is. It makes it hard to live. If I think of something, I want to describe it or explain it, and I can't do that anymore because now there's restrictions on language. There's no such thing as a bad word. There's no such thing as a bad word. There's a bad intention. There's a bad context. There's a bad usage of it. Words are words. Words are there to describe. Most of you guys, like for example, when I came here, I had lost a little bit of, I was no longer in touch with the lingo of the Western world. I had lost it. So I remember my brother told me that's sick. I'm like, khair inshallah, I'm a doctor, what can I do to help? So I was like, this is when I first came back. He's like, no, sick, I mean, it's good. So is that a bad usage? No, it's a word that means something actually negative, but used in the right context, it's actually a really nice word to use. The same thing if I were to say sarcastically that this person is an angel, it's actually a horrible thing. It's ghiba, actually. It's actually mockery. It's actually one of the things that will, one of the words that you fall in Jahannam for. So it's really based on how you use the word. So there's no such thing as good word or bad word. It's how you've been using it. The Prophet ﷺ said, be very, slow down. You are steering the delicate ones, the qawariyah, the ones made of glass. Take that out of context and make it misogynistic or disrespectful. Sure, you can. Or you can understand what he meant, alayhi salatu wasalam, understand where he's coming from. It really depends on you. It depends on how you, it's not always about the, I mean, obviously the person saying something has to be careful, but we also have to put it in our mind when we listen to something, the context and what the person means. And maybe give people the benefit of the doubt every once in a while. Maybe that's what we should be trying to do. The world that we live in is become very politically driven, very polarized, and all you have to do is say one word that is just, it's going to be taken out of context immediately, and then it's going to be used against you so heavily, and it makes you wonder if, whether this is a healthy practice to have, and whether if we keep on doing that, what are we going to turn into? What's actually going to happen? Words today, the usage of words today is actually, I'm not going to get into that, that's a whole different rant. But the importance of this hadith for me is the Prophet ﷺ would speak, and he would say something. And there was a hadith, there was someone who would sing. And that's how the camels moved. He listened to someone singing, ﷺ, and they would be singing poetry that he didn't give him a list of poets that he's allowed to use. The Hadi will say whatever he wants, it's whatever he has, whatever the culture allows. He would say it, and that's how they moved. Ka'ab ibn Malik, in the narration of Imam Ahmad, said, قُلْتُ لِلنَّبِيِّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَدْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فِي الشِّعْرِ مَا أَنزَلَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about poetry something heavy. What exactly do I do about this? He's a poet. Ka'ab ibn Malik is a poet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالشُّعَرَاءُ يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمُونَ وَأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ. And there's an exception at the end, but there's a lot of heaviness against poetry in that ayah because it has to be used appropriately. So the Ka'ab was a little bit scared. He was like, what do I do? Like, I'm a poet. What exactly? How am I saying? فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمُؤْمِنُ يُجَاهِدُ بِسَيْفِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ وَلَكَأَنَّمَا مَا تَرْمُونَهُمْ بِهِ نَضْحَ النَّبْلِ. He said, a mu'min will strive with his sword sometimes and with his tongue other times. And I swear to you, Ya Ka'ab, the words that you say is worse and more heavy on them than arrows being let go. Than a shower of arrows. The words that you say, when you say something, when you're a poet and you come up with a piece of art that will live on, that supports some one thing and stands by something else, it's worse for them. They find it more impactful upon them than a shower of arrows going to them. He swore to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So think about that, and think about that strength that exists. Your words, your articulation, your narrative, your ability to explain, talk. This is important. We have with us an opportunity, and we have with us a tool and an ability, and we should use it appropriately, wallahu a'lam. يروي الشيخان في متفقا عليه من حديث أنس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتى على أزواجه ولهن سواق يسوقهن يقال له أنجشة فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أنجشة رويدك سوقك بالقوارير. ويروي الإمام أحمد في مسنده بسند صحيح عن كعب أنه قال يا رسول الله قد أنزل الله في الشعر ما أنزل فماذا نصنع؟ فقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم المؤمن يجاهد بسيفه ولسانه والله لكأنما ترمونهم به نضح النبل. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. Tomorrow at 8:30 we will have a dua for the Afzal family. It'll just be like a little small dua and some time to reflect and to make dua yourself for them. Every year, like we did this last year, we're going to do it this year. I think the only thing that we should do is really take a moment and remember them. And maybe even rejoice amongst each other of remembering them and talking about them if you were their friends. And kind of come together and make dua for them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think about what we can do inshallah for them in the future. So that's what we're going to have starting 8:30 tomorrow. So tomorrow's Friday. I have an Arabic halaqa at Maghrib. But in half an hour before Maghrib or something like that, we will have this activity and then we'll pray Maghrib. So you're welcome to come and attend that with us if you find fit, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum.